Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome back to the Psych Legal Pop Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about popular culture through the lens of an attorney and a therapist. I'm Tess Brigham. I'm the therapist.
And I'm Brooke Brigham. I'm the attorney.
For this episode, we are covering Seeking Sister Wives, episode 4 of season 5, with our friends Corey and Carly from Surviving Sister Wives, and that will be up soon. But before we jump into the episode, just want to mention that our Patreon is live, so please go check it out if you're interested. It's patreon.com/psychlegalpop. So what you would get with Patreon, we just have one tier right now. It's an $8 tier. You get a weekly show where we talk about what's going on in pop culture, things that are happening in our lives, and just sort of our takes on, you know, what's just sort of happening in the world. We do once a month a true crime documentary. And we're also, if you have any therapeutic or legal questions that you're interested in learning more about, or you have for yourself, for your personal life, we are, our Patreon members can ask us questions and we will answer them in one episode once a month. So please go check it out there. And another way to support us and this podcast is to please give us a 5-star review, rating and review. It really does help us out, as well as subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. All right. I think that's it. Let's start the show. All right, everybody. So happy we are here with Corey and Carly from Surviving Sister Wives. Today we are going to be covering Seeking Sister Wife, season 5, episode 4, Seeking the Truth. Dun, dun, dun. Each of these episodes feels like that. Seeking the, and then whatever that word is, and then dun, dun, dun.
Mad
Very
libs.
Ominous.
Yeah, fill in the blank.
Mad libs. Before we dive into these families, we want to get to know Corey and Carly and hear about your story and how the two of you started podcasting and your show and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I think we're really just doing what we've always done at home on the couch. And that's kind of the genesis of the podcast was, you know, me putting on some really bad reality TV and Corey adding a lot of commentary to it.
You chime in too.
I participate.
We have our own running storylines that end up part of the narrative.
And that turned into a podcast. We were like, we have to find something that we can talk about because this is all that we do at home is just make fun of reality television. And we were watching Sister Wives. It had come back and the plot just seemed extremely boring. It was season 14. And there was a lot for us to ad lib and play with.
So where were they at that point in season 14? What was happening?
It was the move to Flagstaff. It was the season of many moves because that was, Mary had moved initially to a rental and then to another rental and then to another rental. So I think she moved three times in the span of about four episodes. So
then there was the fire.
The fire one.
And she like somewhat moved out of her house because of the fire.
Evacuation move. Yeah. So there was a couple. It was not a lot going on. Maddie ended up having a baby.
Fascinating season.
So yeah, just riveting stuff.
Well, yeah, and there was the whole thing about whether, about how God was telling Robin that they really needed to find a rental, but God was telling Cody, or no, other way around. God was telling Cody they needed to find a rental, and Robin was saying, no, God is saying he's going to come. I don't know. Now I'm mixed up.
Yeah, the six-bedroom rental that it was supposed to be. The promised land.
Isn't that funny how sometimes God can tell you different things? I think that Danielle and Garrick need to get that message.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a theme here.
It is. It's so interesting. And you know what's so interesting? I'm in my garage all the time, and God never talks to me when I'm in there, ever. Never tells me about getting sister husbands or brother husbands or anything like that. I never have those moments.
I have had a nice garage breeze, though. So that's what, at the change of a season, you know, spring breeze, fall breeze, you can catch a good garage breeze where it's like, it's a nice day out there.
Open a little bit.
The sun's nice and warm. You're feeling it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think God's in the breeze there. I don't think so.
So what's it been like for the two of you? You're married, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Legally? Is it still legal?
I didn't want to make any presumptions.
No, yeah, absolutely.
So first off, I can never get my husband to watch any of these shows with me ever. He just kind of makes comments and then walks out, you know, not even funny comments, just annoying comments. First off, I can never get my husband to watch anything with me. But I'm also wondering, for the two of you, you've been doing this for a while. How has it been? Do you find that it's brought you closer together? Or do you find like, oh, God, we're fighting all the time? Or is it like, oh, you again, we got a podcast together? What's it been like?
Oh, boy. Yeah, Carly, you want to jump in on that one?
Oh, I was going to say, what are your thoughts after
me?
All
this?
This
is for me?
Oh. That's why I am the therapist of the two.
I get
that question.
Well, yeah, because I think I get the brunt of it because I end up editing the episode. So not only do I hear everything that we say when we're talking about it, I get to hear it back when I'm editing it afterwards and then posting it later. So I feel like I get hit with two ends of it there, as far as the repetition would go. But as an editor, I was kind of used to that. Like, that's sort of part of the process, I guess.
You were bred for this.
From my, built and trained and learned editor behavior, I guess, there.
It has not stopped the amount of television that we consume, though, because we still have our shows outside of what we cover that we watch on a regular basis and talk about constantly to one another. So I don't know that it's changed much, to be honest.
And I was just talking with my friend last night, too, and I was telling him about, you know, obviously the podcast and things that have been going on recently and things. So I was catching him up to speed and was talking about how I like the podcast, though, because it is something that it's me and Carly have made it together. Because if I was just doing the podcast, nobody would have listened. If Carly was doing the podcast, I don't think she would have been able to upload an episode by herself. So, like, you know, it's between the two of us. That's how this all happened. So it's ours together. So it is something that we're, you know, in it together.
Well, what other genres are you into? Housewives, or what other shows do you like to watch?
So we're obsessed with watching The Traitors right now on Peacock.
I watched the first couple seasons. I haven't watched any of the, you know, Traitors UK or Traitors. I mean, there's one in every land now.
Mm-hmm.
Are you watching other countries?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so we watched down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, the UK. So we're in UK season two right now. We tried Australia. We weren't really too into.
It was too much of a different dynamic on that one. There were too many people to start with, and it was just.
It wasn't in the castle, and the host was kind of annoying. So we didn't really like the host. So that kind of did it for us.
Yeah. Alan Cumming is great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, God, because he really, when he signed on for this job, he said, you know what? I'm going to make this camp and I'm going to take this seriously. And he just does. And he does it brilliantly. And it's like, good. That's what you're supposed to do.
All in.
You either just jump right in you know?
The commitment. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, he's committed. He is committed to the role and committed to the show. But
we do love Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Yes. We do like that when it's on too. So that's another good one.
You know, got to stick around in Utah.
Yeah. Yes. Can't stray too far.
A lot of drama there.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, when you were talking about how it was the, you know, you needed the two of you to do the show, that's pretty much how it's been for us as well. Back in 2019, because I'm a therapist, I'm a coach, I've been kind of out in the world, sort of, you know, trying to be out there. I, you know, write and I do lots of different things. And I was going to, and I have a lot of friends who have podcasts. So I was going to start this podcast by myself and it was awful. Mm. I never released anything. I remember sitting again in my garage. God wasn't talking to me then either. But I was sitting in my garage trying to record and I hated it. I was like, I hated talking to no one. I hated talking to, and I just couldn't do it. And so I sort of put it away and 2020 happened and then a lot of other things happened. And then somehow, you know, every time Brooke and I got on the phone together, my husband would say, you know, that's a podcast right there, the two of you. Mm-hmm. Because I was always fascinated listening to all these podcasters talking about these legal issues. And then I would go to Brooke and say, well, what's really going on here? Like, tell me what the law is. And then we would talk about the psychological things and we're like, oh yeah, this is a podcast. Right. And it's the same thing. It's a little bit of, neither of us know how to upload anything. That's my husband, but it's almost like you need the other person, you know, you needed them because they're sort of the missing link, the missing piece of why it works. And just the fact, obviously the two of you are married. So that gives you built-in chemistry. You know, we've known each other for 50 years, Brooke and I. So that gives us a built-in chemistry and history. And that's hard. You can't always find that.
Yeah.
That's hard to find.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And then the Sister Wives came in when, what was it, season 17, when things started to get good. And we did a podcast very early on. It was probably like podcast number 5.
Yeah.
Where I explained Sister Wives to Tess because
I haven't even watched all the seasons.
Right. Like, what is up with this show? Everybody's talking about it. And I'm like, well, let me explain it to you. Cause I had been watching it since it started. And it was just one of those shows. It was always on my DVR. And when I had watched everything else, I would watch Sister Wives. Cause it was so boring that, you know, I felt obligated. And then you're so invested in it and you can't stop. And then finally it started to get good. So, I remember we went to LA to visit my daughter and I had just subscribed to, Ace and Caitlin's, or I guess it was their free Sister Wives, feed, or maybe it was the Patreon. I don't know. But anyway, I introduced Tess to it in the car and we listened to it all the way home, you know, for like 6 hours straight.
Yeah.
Back to back to back to back. And then she wanted more. And then she went and subscribed and so she drank the Kool-Aid. She was in.
But those were our highest rated shows. Mm-hmm. We would do all these other shows. We talked about like the Kardashians or Britney Spears or this or that. And nobody, it was like, And then we would, I mean, even now when we go back and look, you know, a year and a half later, it's still, those are the shows that people downloaded. Those are the ones. And so we were like, well, we can't get away from it. We just have to just keep going. We so can't stop.
Into our repertoire.
So. Yes, exactly.
The dedicated fan base. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yes, yes. But it is. It is a funny show. Everything happens and then nothing happens all at once. Every episode. It feels like a lot happens and then nothing happens. And But today we are talking about seeking sister wife. So where should we begin? I think you recap the same way we do, where we go family by family.
Yeah.
Couple by couple.
Seems to be.
So, yeah. I mean, do we start with the most insane, explosive one or the semi-insane?
Let's go for it. Let's go with the Merrifields.
Let's go in.
You want to go right into the Merrifields. Yeah. Okay. Well, I've got my black tank top on. I put on my black tank top.
Just you're ready to go. Do you have your engagement ring in your pocket?
Well, I guess I gotta go find that. I'm desperate to have sex with this new person I just met.
It's great that you have the black tank top. I have the cheeky bikini bottom, so that's good. I've showered. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Yeah. For the recording.
Yeah. We're only on like day three, I think.
Oh, I know. I was just thinking. In there. And I think all of this happened in one day. I mean, I think this was one day of their trip, right?
Yeah. This whole episode was one day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought this was hands down the best thing I've ever watched because you were watching a man slowly realize, oh, I'm not going to get laid tonight.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have sex tonight, am I?
And it might not happen not this week. Yeah. Like at all.
Yes. No, it went from tonight to like in the next couple of days to this week to at all.
It's gone.
And it is sad to watch. It is really sad to watch. Well, do you have, because I know, Carly, you rewrite the blurbs, right?
I do. I actually did not rewrite this one yet.
Okay.
I know. That's a real bummer. I ran out of time, unfortunately. But this was a crazy episode. Like the fact that this all occurs in one day, the fact that Roberta number two is like so, her emotional IQ is like dialed in. And yes, she is saying all the things that they are not ready for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, oh, Natalia's with it.
Yeah.
Like, she really knows what's going on here. Like, we've really underestimated her. And I was listening to your show and you brought up something that I also was wondering too, which is they're saying that she just graduated from law school. So why do you want to pick up and leave?
Yeah.
Why would you do that now?
Yeah, the timing seems off. And then it's just so funny to us that there's this realization that the Merrifields are coming to between Garrick and Danielle where they're like, this woman is nothing like Roberta. And it's like, mm-hmm. Yes, because this is a totally different person. They just thought that like, oh, I could go, I'll just go pick out another Brazilian. And it was like, guys, no.
Yeah, it's like, this isn't the Gap.
That's not how this works. Yeah, it's not an assembly line where you go pick. It's like, no, these are people that you're interacting with. So I think that just tends to kind of how Garrick is viewing this entire experience where there's an objectification that's happening here. And it's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
You know, Roberta was scamming them, you know, and it was a long scam. I didn't realize Danielle said that she was in their life for 3.5 years.
Yeah, she was here for a long time.
The long haul.
She was getting money out of them and trips. And so, yeah, she wasn't playing the long game like. And so, of course, she was fawning all over both of them. And Natalia is not really, you know, she's not putting out.
Yeah.
For either of them. Yeah, not, you know.
There's still time left. Garrick's not going to give up.
He's going to try. Yeah, he'll try. Then we start this episode and it sounds like Garrick's already trying to want to recruit French chef wife number three. He's joking with Natalia in the kitchen. And it's like, I don't think we have this dialed in yet. I don't think we're locked in with this three group that we have before we're going to add wife number three. I think this one's kind of rocky, to say the least.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Well, this whole, you know, that whole thing where they wanted to have, I mean, the episode starts off with them and they're making lunch or something's happening. And I just, Garrick is so creepy with like him rubbing on Natalia's shoulder while she's, you know, and it's even more egregious that they were with Roberta for 3.5 years and they did not learn any, it's Portuguese, right?
Oh yeah.
They correct.
Learn, yeah.
Yes.
They didn't learn one.
No.
Phrase.
No.
Some basics, anything, not one thing at all.
I think he said C at one point, but I don't, but I'm fairly positive that that's Spanish, which is not the same as Portuguese. And I'm not even sure, I'm not 100% sure if it's the same for to say C as yes, a confirmation. But
yeah. And the one phrase that we do here is Natalia knows how to say translator, please.
Translator app, please.
Oh my gosh. But that when Natalia and Danielle, they go aside. So basically, you know, Natalia wants to spend time alone. Garrick looks panicked. He's a little like, oh, okay, just the two of you. They go off and they start talking. I was like, good. Natalia's asking really good questions.
Very good questions.
Challenging questions. Like saying to her and really challenging her with, hey, you know, you keep saying this is God's plan, but God wouldn't want you to be this unhappy. And you're telling me you're happy, you're fine, but your emotions, the way in which you're interacting, the look on your face, none of that matches.
And Danielle, who looks like she hasn't slept in 4 days, is like, do I seem sad? It's very apparent that you are sad.
Constantly crying. Just, yeah.
Eyes all puffy. Yeah. What? You think I'm sad right now? Am I sad? Do I look sad?
No, I'm happy. This is what I want, really.
I'm just terrified. Maybe that's what you're picking up on. Maybe it's the utter terror that is just emanating from me.
And then, sure enough, I don't know how long they were out there talking, but sure enough, Garrick shows up. I'm like, I knew it. I knew he would not be able to handle the two of them just talking alone.
Oh, he was lurking during that whole conversation, trying to listen as intently as he could. And he was like, okay, I have to go in there and break this up because Danielle is going to say something that's going to stop me from getting laid this week.
Yeah. And that's what he needed to do.
Do you think he has her Danielle's translator app set up to send him an email whenever it translates something? So then he's like, oh, no, what are they talking about?
Yeah,
I got to get in there.
He's reading the transcript of everything he said.
So, but the big thing was that I think so when he finally shows up, so he's trying to assess what the situation is. And what is it? Is it Natalia that says, well, Danielle says that she's afraid. And Garrick's like, you told her you're afraid? Like, what?
Because Danielle's like, oh, no, I just to be clear, I did not say that. And Natalia, maybe she scrolled up on the app and pointed it out. Or said, you know, again, if there is a transcript of this translation that's happening, remember, do you recall when you said you told me just now a few moments ago that you are indeed afraid? And that was what happened. So Danielle has to kind of fess up to this. She's caught in a lie because she's telling Garrick immediately, oh, no, I did not tell her I'm afraid. I promise you. Even though I did. I did, though.
Yeah. Garrick is like, you are going to blow up my whole plan. And yeah, this Natalia's smart.
Yeah.
She's very smart. And she's talking about how I can't go. And I'm giving up my life basically to go live with you. And I can't do that under these circumstances. You know, they're not over, at least Danielle is not over Roberta.
Yeah. Natalia's only what, 25, 26 years old. She's very young. She's, there's a real big power dynamic here. That's completely lopsided. I have to give her a lot of credit because I think that you have to give her credit just for even saying, hey, you know, something's off here. And then when they push back, it would be really easy to be like, oh, okay, sorry, I didn't mean anything by it. But she then like really stood her ground and was like, no, that's not what I'm seeing. Like, please do not gaslight me here. Like, yeah. I have eyes. I can see.
If God spoke to you the way that you say that he spoke to you, why is Danielle so upset all the time?
Yeah.
With things.
Yeah.
So it's these good, you know, comparison points and connections that she is making and she's calling attention to them. I got curious because we had the aside part where Garrick had mentioned he reminds everyone that he's had visions from the Lord about five wives, burgers, and fries. So he's talking about he's going to franchise here. I think that's what's going on. And that's what he's working towards. But if that's the vision, do we think maybe could it have been that these five wives, were they all simultaneous in the vision? Maybe you're just going to get divorced a lot. Could that be a possibility? Maybe.
I don't know if Natalia knows about the plan for five wives.
I don't think she does. Yeah, it doesn't seem like she was aware of that.
Well, and Danielle even mentions one of the reasons why Danielle is so bereft during this whole thing is that she reminds everybody, she divorced Garrick.
Yeah.
When she clearly didn't want to. But in order to have his vision come true and get a 90-day fiance visa or whatever they had to do, and that all fell apart. And now this is falling apart. And I don't know, I felt like this kind of twinge of, you know, Garrick a couple times was kind of looking at her and speaking to her like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
You're messing up my plans. And, you know, I think he just really bullies her.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares at all about how Danielle feels about the situation.
Clearly does not.
No, not at all. No, because he's decided.
And I did enjoy that Natalia didn't let the use of God manipulate her, because I think that's what he does with Danielle. And it did not work on her, which is why I'm thinking Natalia does not last much longer. That would be my prediction.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's barely hanging on by a thread here.
Yeah. Well, and I think, Corey, you just said this line, right? And I wrote it down, which is what Natalia said. She says, you told me God spoke to you, but God wouldn't want to see Danny unhappy. And I'm like, yes. I mean, she's calling him on his shit.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I also think that I think Garrick definitely wants to get laid. He definitely wants that to happen, Natalia. He wants to have sex with Natalia. But I wonder if he really wants to be married to her, because she isn't going to put up with his shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think that this does not look good.
But Tess, she would give him really pretty babies. They would make really nice babies, according to him. So, that might outweigh any of his concerns pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, that's what he said when he first saw her in a bikini.
That's how beautiful the children would be. And it's like, that's...
Immediately,
not where you start.
Procreation,
right?
Yeah.
Don't start there.
And then Garrick says, "Well, I don't think Danny's unhappy." It's like, let her speak for herself. And then Natalia tells him to leave.
Yeah, she's like, "I got to get to the bottom of this."
Slow claps for that. He didn't even know what to do when she was like, "Okay, actually, I'm going to just talk to Danielle alone. You can leave now."
Yeah. I was like, good. And he just looked like, oh, crap, I got to go. Uh-oh. Okay. Here, like with the footsteps, like, he's really like right around the corner. Like, oh, I'm leaving now.
Yeah. So then they all sit down for that awkward lunch.
Oh, man.
And we still haven't heard anything from Natalia's mom. I want to hear what she thinks.
She's completely MIA. Have we even seen her?
Well, she was at the table.
She was sitting next to Natalia.
But we've never heard her speak.
She has not.
She must not have a translator app.
Or.
They didn't down or load her one.
Yeah. Garrick, he doesn't want her involved in this. He disabled her translator app.
I was worried that we lost one of the kids at the cenote or something, too, because I only saw the one kid sitting down for lunch.
That's true.
And I was like, no. But I think he might just be behind the camera. He might have just been filming. So they've relegated him to the crew position for now.
Yeah, they told him if you see any good translator conversations, please get out your iPhone and start filming.
You know, you feel this awkward feeling around the table right now. Just that atmosphere, the tenseness in the air. Just pull your cell phone out and just hit record whenever you feel that feeling, okay? The producers thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And then we come back. So, you know, this is their first big segment. And then the second segment was that we see this whole thing about these that Garrick got caught. He got caught. I mean, this was beautiful. That Garrick still had a bunch of, I guess, profiles up on a ton of dating apps. I didn't watch the show before this season. So is that how they've been meeting all these women? Is through these apps?
Yeah. So they've been using dating apps to meet various Brazilian women, apparently.
Specifically Brazilian women.
So they're only turned on for Brazil.
location Brazil. Restricted, yeah. And maybe that's why, I know when he said that there's like 10 apps that are on the phone, and I was like, are there that many dating apps?
Yeah,
like,
I didn't know that there were that many to be on.
I can't even think of that many. So unless he has like a US version and Brazilian versions of everything, specifically that he's downloaded, I'm not sure.
He couldn't understand it, though, if it was the Brazilian version.
Yeah, the Portuguese terms and conditions, he wouldn't be able to agree to that.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's agreeing to.
He's got like a translator app on one end and then the phone, and he's trying to like understand how to talk to these people through Tinder.
Oh, this
Tinder,
is very,
Tinder Brazil.
Yeah, Tinder Portuguese.
Yeah, that was weird. I didn't know that there were so many, but basically Natalia, again, which shows you that I don't think this is really going to work, that she calls him out again, because I guess she picked up his phone to use the translator app, and Garrick did not plan this very well, because apparently a notification popped up. So I met my husband before all of this stuff, so I don't even know how any of these things work. But like, I guess if someone can say, if someone messages you back or someone likes you or someone swipes on you, that notification will pop up.
Well, yeah, you can set your notifications so that every single time someone likes your comment or picture or profile or sends you a message, you get a notification. And you know, that's like dopamine hits for Garrett.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
He's getting those all day long.
And turn your push notifications off, dude. Right?
Just
at the very least, if you're not going to delete them, at least turn the notifications off.
Yeah. Well, that just shows you how deep into this he is. And now he's being sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He's getting caught.
He's playing dumb, too, because she's like, "What? Excuse me, what is this?" And he's like, "Oh, is that an app? I don't even know.
What is this?
How did I download?
I have a profile
was
on there?
Was that from my iPhone update? Did they give me another U2 album? I'm in my iTunes?
That I can't get rid of?
What is going on?
Oh, Lordy. But the best is when they interview Garrick by himself in that talking head, he basically cops to it. He's like, "Oh, I don't know what to say." He doesn't even have an excuse for us, the viewer.
No.
He has no excuse for us. It's basically like, "I just want to move on from this. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I'm, you know," essentially, he doesn't say I'm caught, but like, I don't know what to say, so I'm just going to keep cooking.
Well, and it's, "I made a mistake. Sorry I got caught making the mistake." Because like, it wasn't an apology for, "Oh, I'm sorry that I'm still on this app," or "that I betrayed your trust," or it's not that. It's, "Oops, sorry you had to see that."
Mm-hmm.
Because I still like seeing those notifications.
I want to go back to the five wives.
I need those. I need those.
Because if she knows that the expectation is there are going to be five wives in total, then couldn't he just say, "Yeah, I didn't delete the apps because our plan is to have an even bigger family"?
Well, that's what he told Danielle. Because she, back in Colorado, she wanted him to delete all the apps. And he said, "Well, oh, no, because we're going to be searching for more wives. So I'll just leave them now for now."
But she wanted him to delete them. She wanted him to get rid of them for now. And he said, no, it's going to be too much to have to redo all these profiles.
It's 10 different apps. That's a lot of time.
Her
profile? Man.
Yes. So he did not want to have to do all that work over again if you delete your account. So that's why he had to keep them. And then God came to him and told him not to turn off the push notifications.
Right.
he needed those coming. Yeah.
But then when Natalia said, "You need to delete these," like, he said, "Oh, okay." And that's what set Danielle off.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, "Oh, well, you wouldn't do it for me, but you'll do it for her."
No question.
And that's when I just started really like thinking, "Oh God, someone please save Danielle."
Yeah.
Well, Danielle's not ready for this. Cause like, if that's setting you off, there is a lot more that's going to be coming down the road here for you.
Comparison is the thief of joy, Danielle.
Yes, we know.
Yes. Well, but you can feel like her emotions are right there on the surface, that there are so many of these things throughout their lives, throughout their marriage, that she comes to him for and wants and needs. And he just, I think, dismisses them or doesn't listen to them. And then he sees like, "Oh, you're going to do it for her. You're going to do it for this person and that person. Like, where am I in all of this?" And I just think this is this moment in time. And I got the sense, just to back up for a second, I got the sense that the whole thing was that when he and Natalia started getting serious, he told Natalia, "I'm going to delete all my profiles," that she never asked him, but she was annoyed when she saw that he was still on there, that he had lied to her. But either way, it just shows you very, very clearly, like, he's lying to both women. Uh-huh. He's not considering anybody's feelings but his own. And Danielle, I think, is starting to see, like, wow, I'm already being dismissed by this one person. What's going to happen when we're looking for wife number five? You know, Danielle's not even on the trips by then.
Right. Yeah.
She's at home. She's, you know, I don't know where she is.
You're too much of a naysayer, Danielle. You keep scaring all these women off by being so sad and depressed. So
you can't come anymore to Mexico.
Yeah. You're bumming us out on vacation here. I can't handle it. But oh my gosh, have you seen their Instagram lives? They've been doing those.
Oh God, since this season. They do Instagram lives.
They had the bright idea to start doing Instagram lives this season. I think they did one, maybe two episodes.
They did two now, yeah.
Well, they did one together, and then after this last episode, Garrick did not participate in the live because he had a migraine. And so he did not produce. He left Danielle to answer all of the people on Instagram who were like, oh my God, get out of there.
Wait. What is their handle? What is their thing?
Oh, hers, like, is.
Are they, they're not the Merrifield School of Grooming.
I don't think so. No, that's different kinds of grooming, I think.
Get ready for it. It's wifey_Merrifield, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow.
Is Danielle's Instagram handle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she also Garrick refers to Danielle and Natalia as sister. Well, when you, yes, and sister, when, yep, you, that
they
that
did that with Roberta.
Creepy.
Yeah, they did that with Roberta too.
That is
too.
So creepy.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is Roberta number two. So it's basically, they're just doing all the same stuff with Natalia now.
Do people just troll them on these lives, or do they ask them actual questions?
So I think people were going to be out for Garrick on this last one because everybody saw the app situation. So I don't think he wanted to answer for any of that. So he avoided this one.
Yeah. A lot of the comments look very similar to, like, what Mary's comments used to look like on Instagram, which was just like, why are you with this man? You need to leave him. He's manipulating you. Don't you see it? Mm-hmm. And I think she comes prepared with a list of questions, to be honest. I don't know where they came from, but I'm pretty sure she was not reading them live as they were coming up. Because, again, a lot of the comments were just, you know, negative stuff about Garrick. Mm-hmm. My personal favorite was, Garrick gives me a migraine.
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord. I found her. Her thing says, official wing woman to my husband. That was the first thing that's written about her. That's how she describes herself. That's the first thing. Oh, and then there's this. I'm just glancing through. There's one video in here of Garrick in the shower with sunglasses on.
Oh, Lord.
God, this could be a show, right? Does he have here. Just scrolling.
does he have a tank top on in the shower?
No, it's in the shower.
No, I'm naked. Uh-oh. I feel like Garrick would be like a Tobias Never nude, though. Like, he always, I feel like that's like another comfort blanket thing for him is the tank top. And he will never take it off. Because I don't think he had time to take it off when he had sex with Roberta.
Oh, no. When Danielle was getting her luggage out of the other room.
Instantaneously. And so, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just, it's a comfort thing.
Yeah. She hasn't been on here that long, actually, because she doesn't have that many posts or pictures. All right. Well, this will be my Saturday night.
Save here. That for the lives. We'll see if they come back, if they're brave enough to do another one. But
oh, Lord, I mean, but Garrick has, he's a funny one. I mean, just there's something I cannot put my finger on him. It's almost like on some levels he has no shame. It's like, do you not see yourself? You have little or no awareness at all, like zero.
Yeah.
And the way he speaks is a little odd. He misses words. I don't know if you noticed that. I don't know. It's just like, not the brightest bulb.
It's like slimy, though, too. It's just, mm-hmm, there's just, it reeks of self. Like it's all for his benefit Nobody else on the planet matters. It's just for him. And everything that he does is justified by God to him. And so he has the righteousness in everything that he sets out to do. And it just seems that's what's a little bit off for me, I think, about it is we've equated him to he would be probably be a good cult leader if he had a little bit more charisma, because he is kind of he's not like boisterous enough on top of it too, because I think he gets very controlled in individual settings, but he's not really good at the mass appeal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of cult leaders,
should we move on to
move on to the Ryans?
Wow.
Becky and Justin.
So have you heard the controversy?
What a wild ride that was.
We have not talked about it yet, though. That was something that we discovered, I think, after we recorded our last episode, which really justified a lot of how we were feeling about Becky and Justin, because there was something really off about them.
Oh, yeah.
It explains a lot.
Mm-hmm. It explains a lot. And did you mention, I think they said this at the end. I thought this was so weird. They mentioned that they have been seeking a sister wife for 20 years.
Yes.
And I think they did mention it was their, oh gosh, what was her name? There was the other. Yeah. Stephanie, where I guess they'd been courting her for, what was it, like the last 9 months or something like that. So. Mm-hmm. And then she's just too wishy-washy and back
and forth. She got the ick.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, she was coming to her senses here.
Yeah. Well, and we see them next week going
to stalk her.
Yeah.
Yes. Right? That creeped me out too, where they don't have consent to come visit her. Like, she was like, don't come here. And they got in the car and they're doing it anyway. Boundaries. Yeah. We have a boundary problem.
Not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're jumping the fence to get to her.
Psych Legal Pop will be back after these messages. Hello, this is Tess Brigham, one half of the podcast Psych Legal Pop. When I'm not podcasting with my sister and analyzing pop culture, I'm a speaker who talks about mental health in the workplace. In today's post-pandemic hybrid working world, mental health matters more than ever. I specialize in empowering organizations to retain their valuable employees. I understand the unique challenges facing young adults in today's world, and I'm here to bridge the gap. So head over to my website, www.tessbrigham.com, to learn more about my speaking services and how I can help your organization reach new heights of success. Let's revolutionize your organization's approach to mental health and employee retention. Visit www.tessbrigham.com to explore how we can collaborate.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Yeah, so anyway, so this is actually her stepfather, was this man named Tony Alamo, and he was a pretty notorious cult leader, and he was married to girls as young as 8 years old. Some of his former wives that he married when they were teens and preteens, they were on an episode of Oprah, told their stories. So, I mean, this is real. This is a legitimate thing. And he was sentenced to 175 years in prison for sex charges and
for transporting five girls across state lines for sex.
Somehow
another thing.
Yeah, somehow still not enough time, I don't think, for,
oh, no. for that. Well, he's dead now.
Yeah, yeah, he died in prison, luckily.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was convicted of 10, you know, rape, child rape offenses in 2009. Wow. Anyway, yeah, so this is why she's so comfortable with polygamy, I guess. Mm-hmm. Said that it was just, growing up, it was just something that people did, but this isn't really, polygamy is not the same as a cult where people are being forced to do things and children are being trafficked. I mean,
yeah, polygamy isn't an 8-year-old marrying an 8-year-old
child bride. Yeah, that's a different category.
I am just really shocked that they, well, I guess I'm not shocked, right? Because TLC notoriously does not do very well with casting. They cast people with all kinds of dark pasts, but I would be upset if I was the Browns and found out that this is someone that they cast on a show about polygamy when they've right. been on TV for 18 seasons now, trying to show people that that is not the way that all polygamy looks. And mm-hmm. then now we have someone who is on Seeking Sister Wife, who is, I would say, like masquerading, trying to tell us that this is something completely normal and they grew up in it. And then we find out what they grew up in was actually like a really dark horrific version of polygamy, which is the thing that, you know, turns people off to it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they should have known. I mean, I don't know sometimes with their lack of, I don't know if it's a lack of background checks or they just don't care or they think they're that desperate to.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they desperate? Because how many of these families can you find? How many of these couples?
I think it's really hard to find people who are good in front of the camera and who are entertaining as well and can mm-hmm. provide you mm-hmm. a constant storyline. And they end up casting people where they don't really care about what their background is because of that. Like, that's how we get Big Ed. Angela. That's how we get Angela on 90 Day Fiancé.
She started on Maury. You know, it was like, it was the, the drama has always been there.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's just, this is entertainment and they know what people will tune in to watch. It's the whole Jerry Springer kind of element of it all. And I don't think they really care.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the other thing too is, because I was reading about all of this, that they were part of this church and that this Tony Alamo kind of swooped in and basically alienated Rebecca or Becky's birth father. And that alienated him, kind of got the mom to divorce him, kicked him out, you know, ostracized him. Like, you know, Becky never saw him again, ever, barely. And that Tony Alamo's real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman.
He was born Jewish. Yeah.
Wow.
It's just like, what?
Plot twist. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he was born Jewish, and then his first wife, he went to Hollywood. He found her in Hollywood. She came to Hollywood to be a star, and then she was also Jewish, and then they both converted. It's a wild story. If you want to just go on Wikipedia and read it. I mean, it's a very wild story. This is a very, I don't know, I can't believe we've never heard of these people before.
Well, there is actually, because I saw there's something called, it's called it came out in 2019, Ministry of Evil, the Twisted Cult of Tony Alamo. So if anyone's interested in learning more about this guy, there's a whole documentary about him. So Becky really buried the lead mm-hmm. when she was describing her life and her family to us.
That figures.
But what's your take on Justin?
Oh, Justin has weird vibes to me too. He seems mm-hmm. like he's always ready to be really, really angry very quickly. I got that vibe from him in this episode when they find out that Desiree's not coming to the cafe to meet with them.
Mm-hmm.
I think from him working in construction and finding out that Becky is into antioxidant scanning, I think that was rare. Yes.
I want to know about this alternative health stuff that she's doing.
It started out their segment as an infomercial. And I was like, what am I watching?
If you call right now, three easy payments at $29.95.
Yeah.
Get your antioxidant scanning.
You know what? It was very like Mama Plath vibes from Plathville, where, you know, she, what was she? She, remember when she was drawing the pictures of feet?
She was drawing feet. She was drawing horrible claw-toed feet on her dry erase board in the homeschooled office there. For I don't know who that was for. Oh gosh, yeah, that was season one stuff though. This was going way back.
She was some kind of like fake doctor, but yeah. I mean that's essentially what Becky is doing too.
A homeopathic healer was that the title?
That's right.
I don't remember if that's what she called herself.
If there's a healer in there and you're not playing World of Warcraft, it's you're kind of it's like, come on, you know, it's a bit of a stretch.
Well, I think this is an MLM because Justin was saying something about how Becky just got me into this program. He kept talking about the program. I'm like, what is this program?
It's a lot of vitamins. There's something because she mentioned. Supplements.
Because who knows what they are? I don't know. The FDA doesn't know. Nobody knows. Just keep taking them.
Supplements. Yeah. Well, but see, this is the part that I was so shady was just that he said, oh, well, Becky has me taking all these supplements. And then Becky says, yeah, he was skeptical at first, but now he's into it because now that he's seen his numbers go up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, up to where? What does that mean? Like,
what are
you
the
can
numbers?
Make this anything.
Yeah.
Like, how do these... What are these numbers? Like, what?
Is it gamma radiation levels? Like, that's bad. You don't want those numbers higher.
You want high numbers.
Please.
Yeah.
If it's a Geiger counter, keep it low.
But I just was like, but they could have made that anything, right? Like, how do you know what they could just pretend? I just thought the whole thing was so bizarre.
Sodium, iron. Yeah. Like whatever material you want to track. And then you have your magical antioxidant scanning device that just so happens to be when you're not taking these pills, you're testing low and it needs to test high. So you need more of the supplements. So keep buying the supplements. Okay. So to not put two and two together as two grown adults, allegedly, here. I mean, they are in their mid-40s. But
do we think they know? I have a feeling Becky knows.
Becky, yeah, I don't know. Or Becky believes whatever's in the pamphlet that explains it to her.
Whatever the person in her upline told her. This is what this does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yes. So they were supposed to meet Desiree from the day before and she for boba tea, and which was interesting, a place to meet her. But of course, and I don't know how much of this is real and not real. I mean, I don't know. I think the producers were like, keep doing this. And Desiree's like, I can't do this anymore. I don't care how much you're going to pay me to go to boba tea with these two.
We were talking about this after we watched the episode about, do we think that she like came from central casting and she was a plant and that the producers put her in that bar just so they could have a conversation with someone?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah. But you know, but Becky and Justin seemed genuinely disappointed. I mean, maybe they're good actors. I don't know, but
I don't think they told them that she's part of the show.
I don't think they knew.
When she didn't show up, they seemed like, so they weren't in on it then.
Right.
I don't think they were in on it at all. I think a producer said to Becky, hey, she's been checking out Justin a little bit. Why don't you, you should go talk to her, go ask her. And then when she had that interest, I mean, trust me, you don't think that Justin could not have come up with a better line if he knew who she was than do you work out? I mean, that was his big pickup line. It's like, but if he knew ahead of time, my God, I would hope that you'd come up with something better.
I would say that it even went, I think that was our other theory, was that the producers had asked them, oh, you're going out to a bar? Which bar are you going to? We'll have to get, you know, we'll have to have the establishment sign off on us bringing cameras in, blah, blah, blah. So like they knew where they were going to be, when they were going to be there. So then TLC just happened to make a phone call over to Central Casting and they were like, hey, who do you got? And we want to park somebody at the bar here.
Because no one was at that bar.
Nobody was there.
Yeah.
Wow, it was empty.
Yeah, it was really empty.
It was Desiree and her two friends and that was it.
Yeah. So they were very upset that she, you know, but they decided they're just going to keep moving forward, pushing forward. And this is when we learn how they've been seeking someone for 20 years. And you're like, what are you two doing? What is going on?
Well, and then he said something to the effect of, you know, yes, it's been really hard, you know, to find someone, that right person, that special person. And he's like, well, I'm sure we could go out and do a one night stand if we wanted to. But, you know, we're looking for something deeper. And I'm like, Okay.
I wouldn't be so sure, Justin. Yeah, I wouldn't be so confident.
That is a lot of unfounded confidence from Justin, whose opening line again, my wife has bigger balls than me. Huh? Am I right?
Yeah, that'll get you a one night stand.
Right? Mm-hmm. Seals the deal.
Well, he said Becky plays hard, works hard, plays hard. So I love that. Works hard, plays hard. Really, at this MLM, she's working real hard. She's a boss. She refers to herself as a boss babe. Mm. You know she's still calling herself that. That she's got some pillow that says boss babe on it. That she's really leaning into that. Yeah, she stitched it on. All right. So then we've got the Davises or the Sherwood family. Where do we want to go next?
Let's do the Sherwoods.
Okay. Because these guys are fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
I find them very interesting. Because I've been thinking about this, you know, just as one would think about the Sherwood family in their spare time. I was thinking about this, it felt like, obviously, it was not a good lunch. I mean, we all with Grace and Shane. But the whole time, I was just thinking about this, like how this is really on Ashley. Because how did Shane know that Grace didn't want to meet with him? Do you know what I mean?
She told him.
Well, yes, yeah, I know. But that's the thing. I feel like Ashley kind of set this up for failure. Hmm. Do you know what I mean? Is this just me? That she just sort of kept going out with Grace and then Grace would, I don't know exactly what Grace would say to her, but I think Grace was maybe a little apprehensive and a little bit this and back and forth. But mm-hmm. Ashley could have found a different way to approach Shane about this and said, well, she seems a little apprehensive, but let's give it some time. Give me some more time. Let's talk to her. Let's figure it out. But I think she just went back to Shane and just said, oh, she doesn't want to meet you yet. Well, she'll meet you at some point, but she doesn't want to meet you. And I think my theory is, I think that Ashley just loves bugging the shit out of Shane. I think she loves torturing him a little. That's my new theory.
They have a weird relationship dynamic to me, and I can't like exactly put my finger on it. I don't really know how I feel about Shane completely yet. I do think that lunch with Grace went very badly, and that a lot of it was how Grace interacted with him. But I don't know. I just feel like I'm not exactly sure about him yet. And I agree. I feel like Ashley did the teenage girl thing where go back and you tell your friend or your sibling or whoever you want to confide in about the person that you're going out with. And you tell them like the worst thing, the worst version.
Yes. Yeah. Or you're not very diplomatic about it, or you're not right. Because I do think that there are, and this sort of shows you how she's a bit of a novice at this. I think that there's a little bit of, there has to be a certain amount of tact and, communication skills when you are navigating these kinds of relationships because, right. I mean, listen, Grace wasn't my favorite person. And, I understand why Shane reacted. He did. I don't think Grace was very friendly with him about things. I think she could have been better. But at the same time, I just feel like Ashley, how did you present the other one to them that they both show up to this lunch really already with their guards up?
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. You know? I think it was Shane, even if he didn't know that Grace didn't want to meet with him, it had been what, 5-6 dates where he hadn't been introduced yet. So I feel like he probably had a general idea, even if Ashley wasn't telling him outright, hey, there doesn't really seem to be an interest to meet you. So I think that was Shane's initial red flag, which then put him on the defensive. And then it didn't go well, obviously, because then they were kind of going at each other at this initial meeting instead of trying to get to know each other.
She did a little bit of like the Cody Brown thing, right? Where you leak like a sieve and you tell the one sister wife all the negative things about the other one or that the other one has said about you. And then you go do the same thing with the other person. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what she did. She confided in them about things about each other. And then they came into that lunch really unhappy with one another.
And Ashley was making the connection with Grace. And the connection on that level was that oh yeah, Shane's kind of a doof or whatever it was that she was confiding in Grace for those moments. So that was where Ashley felt that initial connection. And maybe that's just kind of the general, Ashley doesn't know how to speak about Shane unless she's complaining about him to people. So maybe that's something that she needs to work on if that's the way that she presented it to Grace.
Yeah. I just felt like there was something, I mean, it just felt like, yeah, Ashley, you did not set up either of these people for success. Like you really, as the person that's in between them, you really...
Ashley's not a nice person. She's not a good person. There's something wrong with her. Like everything she's doing to this poor guy. I mean, you know, we talked about this before. It's like, I think, you know, if she had all these doubts about him and she wasn't 100% sure about her sexuality or Shane or whatever, she should have not gotten married or gotten divorced before she started having kids or something. And now she's like dragged this guy into this. He doesn't want anything to do with this. And he's just desperately trying to make her happy and keep his family together. And I don't like Ashley. I just think she's just got bad intentions and she's, I don't know.
It really does seem like all of it is about Ashley, right? Like it's all about her being able to have an open relationship and Shane just finding a way to accept it.
It's always whoever's initiating the searching of what's going on. And then everybody else just needs to fall in line and accommodate that because that's what this person needs. So I think that's kind of the interesting dynamic. And that's kind of the shared struggle for a lot of these storylines.
Yeah, because Ashley's no different than Garrick. She's just not using God as an excuse. You know, she's not saying, well, God told me to do this, but she's doing the same thing.
Yeah. No, it's true. And it's also, it's so funny because we see her in this episode going on a date with Sarah, who's very pretty. So it's like, God, lady, you've got a young kid, you're married, you're a psychiatrist, and you're really pregnant. Like, you can't, yeah, and she's like, she's got time for dating. She's dating, like, on social media. I'm like, I have a fraction of those things going on.
I'm exhausted.
I'm exhausted. Do anything, but she's really going for it. Like she really, you know. And she meets Sarah on social media. It's like, okay, you know, all right. What is? I mean, like, you're just you're like scrolling each other's Instagrams. But Sarah seems to be a much better fit, or seems to be a little bit because I think Grace apparently, really didn't ever date someone who was in another relationship. And I think she was always uncomfortable with that. I think that was part of it. So, but Sarah has dated couples before. So she was very open. She's very open to meeting Shane. But did you guys see this where the camera kept showing us their hands and their feet and the two of them sitting close together and their feet and their hands? Did you notice that? It was like back.
I didn't pick up on
I didn't pick up on that either. I was too distracted thinking about how she brought soup to a park.
To a park bench.
To the park.
Not even like a picnic table. Yeah. Did you bring a straw too? Like, how am I going to do this?
I wasn't watching that at all.
The food. That's where I go. Every time. It's always, if there's food in the scene, I'm on it.
Well, I got excited about lobster roll. I was like, ooh, lobster roll. I was kind of in there. But then I was like, God, why do they keep showing us? Like, and I don't know if they were trying to show us that their bodies were like close together or their feet, but they weren't really touching. But it seemed like, I don't know. Many shots over. And Brooke, you picked this up. You saw that? It was weird.
I think they were kind of rubbing their legs and feet together. And then they, you know, the camera was just not fast enough to catch it. But I think they were just trying to show that these two really have a lot of chemistry.
Yes.
I do actually remember one of the shots with the feet because I was like, what are they? I started to get confused about, are they wearing the same shoes? Like, why they keep showing their feet?
Maybe they traded shoes.
Because they both were wearing these sundresses. Yeah. They both looked right. They dressed very much alike. Yeah. But they have this date on a park bench and... it seems like they have a lot of chemistry and so they're going to hang out again. And So, and Ashley is just like, well, I'm going to kiss you. And she just goes right in and kisses her. And, but this was hands down the best line and probably the best line of the episode, which is when Ashley says, this is what it's supposed to be like when you're attracted to someone.
Oh, yeah.
Telling.
Very telling. Very telling. And I think she was trying to attribute that to where she didn't have chemistry with Grace because
yes.
they hadn't kissed after six dates. And it's like, there might be a little bit more to that statement.
Oh, it was very telling. I knew that, it's one of those sayings that one of those things that therapists always pick up on where it's like, I know you were referring to Grace, but mm-hmm. I think there's something more mm-hmm. about there's some subconscious, unconscious stuff coming up here. Like, because I don't think she's that into, I really just don't think she's that into Shane. I just
no.
don't.
And you know, part of what makes me think that too is she did not seem interested at all talking to Sarah about what Shane's participation in this relationship was going to be.
Oh, that was my favorite part of their whole conversation was because, I mean, Sarah was looking to Ashley to be like, okay, what are like the rules of engagement? How are we navigating this? Because Sarah kind of gave me like threesome vibe when she was saying like, oh, I'm very open-minded and it's not my first time with couples. And it was like, okay, like, I think I'm picking up on some of that where maybe it wasn't fully fledged relationship things, but maybe it was just sexual stuff. I don't know. Could have been. But like from that standpoint, when she's asking Ashley, hey, what would this look like with you, me, and Shane? And Ashley's like, huh, I hadn't really thought of that. Like, this is totally new information.
Oh, gosh. I haven't thought about Shane at all.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I should really call him.
The last time I thought about Shane.
Yeah. I need to give him a call.
Really find out how he's doing. Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't have the heart to come out and say, oh, you don't want to have sex with Shane.
You're not missing much. Yeah, like it's nothing to write home about, you know.
We've done it twice. We have these two kids. Yeah, one kid done. Running away. Yeah. So, and that's the other thing too. She wants whoever she brings in to have kids with Shane. It's right. almost like, yeah, you need to.
You do it.
Your turn.
I think it's just because she knows that's her way to get them stuck with Shane. They have to have this attachment through children.
She's like, ha, suckers. Got them now.
Well, you know, Ashley really is just really quite a plan.
I have to say, Ashley and Nick together would be quite the power couple. Yes. Come on. Well, come on. Wouldn't they be?
They could have a whole just kingdom of, you know, people.
Unfuckable.
But think of how beautiful those children would be.
At their service.
Oh, I feel really bad for Shane in the backyard playing with all those dogs. I was just like, oh, Shane, find someone who's really going to love you. You know, there's someone out there for you, Shane. There is.
Dude's having the time of his life.
You.
He's playing with those dogs. He's having the time of his life. He's poor doing guy. Great. The pineapple shirt poor bothered apple. Me, though, I think, more than anything.
The what?
The pineapple shirt.
Oh, the pineapple shirt? Did
was
you
like,
pick up on that? I saw that, too.
That's a swinger thing, isn't it?
Yes,
the upside down
yes.
pineapple or whatever? Yes. Yeah, it's like, come on, man.
He had a pineapple shirt and a gold chain.
Gosh.
I was like, oh, and maybe this is like, Shane's like, I'm a swinger now. I'm part of this poly community.
I got to lean into this.
He's adapting to the lifestyle.
Polygamy. I didn't choose the polygamy life. Polygamy life chose me. So that's what's going on.
So he went to like whatever the department store is at Wayland, Massachusetts, and told the people there, hey, I need some swinger poly stuff.
I'm coming out.
He typed in swinger stuff at Wayfair.com, and that was the first thing that popped up.
Yes. And they're like, oh, who are you having sex with, Shane? No one.
But I'm hoping.
I'm hoping someone eventually picks me.
I'm hoping someone picks up on this pineapple shirt.
It's not my turn this date, so it's not, I don't get to. Unfortunately.
Oh. All right.
He's going to find another avenue for that aggression. Yeah. Axe throwing.
Oh, the axe throwing. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's how he gets all the aggression out. Yeah. He's not having sex, so he throws axes competitively. And plays beer pong, or what was it?
Yeah, I think it was competitive beer pong.
A lot of competitive things that aren't normally competitive by nature, but regular curricular activities, just social situations, but make it competitive.
It's interesting sports to decide to really go all in on.
If you flip over to ESPN4, you might see them at the cornhole tournament when they're televising those playoffs. It's almost playoff season. I have no idea.
He's just like relay races with the egg on the spoon.
Wheelbarrow racing? He needs a new partner. Ashley's 9 months pregnant. She can't qualify.
Yeah. All right. Should we move on to the Davis family? Boy. Which they made it seem like this was going to be a big Davis family episode, but it really wasn't. What have we learned?
We're just watching them have the same conversation over and over again.
Meetings about meetings.
Essentially. Yes. Meetings about meetings. About meetings.
And it could have been an email.
And then let's meet over here and then let's meet over here.
Probably could have been an email too. Yeah.
It seemed like it was going to be so good, but it was like anticlimactic after Danielle stormed away from the table and like ran into the bathroom at the end of the last episode. And then she just walked back out like nothing happened.
But can we analyze very quickly the comforting hug that Nick was able to provide her in the kitchen, where she Danielle was basically like, "No, yeah, I'm good," and just like a light pat on the back around the arm.
It was very cold.
It was very just cold. Oh no, I'm fine. Yep, I'm totally fine.
Do you think she went and cried, or is she like an IBS girly?
No, she cried. Oh, she cried. Let me tell you, she was crying. That mic pack was on.
I'm not so sure. Oh,
yeah. I didn't watch their courtship. So was he more loving and caring towards her? Because he's not, I don't get a lot of chemistry between the two of them. Am I missing something?
I don't think there ever really was a lot of chemistry between them.
I think that this is like, it's almost like he had like a Garrick dream, like a vision thing. Like, I think this was just kind of Nick's goal was to have a bunch of wives. So that was kind of what he's been working towards. I feel like he at least takes the time to kind of investigate, oh, is someone upset in this process? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it. Let's try and work through it. Let's get everybody on the same page. There's at least a little bit more consideration that goes into it, it seems like, but I don't know if that's just for the cameras, because then they were kind of alluding to how things in the house have changed for Danielle since she moved out. So April was feeling, you know, kind of wounded by this. And
I think it's the other women, though, who are like not as welcoming of her coming back because of what she did.
Yeah, from leaving.
Yeah, I think that I feel like Danielle's just being used, you know. Yeah, because I mean, to your point, last season, I feel like she was such a deer in headlights. I was frankly shocked that she agreed to go through with this whole thing, because the whole entire season, she just seemed so, you know, freaked out and uncomfortable, and they were really pushing her hard, and they still are. And I think they're mad at her for messing this up, you know, like they've got this show, they've got this plan, they've got this whatever. And, you know, Nick tries to act concerned and consoles her and puts his arm around her and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know how sincere it really is.
Mm. I don't know. It doesn't feel very sincere. I mean, I think that Nick, yes, I agree with you that he does a much better job of navigating people's feelings. But I don't feel like there's a lot of chemistry or attraction but they go into the boom boom room together, right? So I'm not seeing any of that, but I don't really see that with any of these women with him at all. So I don't know. I, you know, and then she says that this is her first relationship. Like yes. she said, I just kind of dated here and there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what? This is your first serious? I mean, she's so, I knew she was young, but I'm like, I thought maybe at least you had one relationship before this. This is, whoa. Yeah, of course she's feeling overwhelmed. I mean, what did you think?
The scary part for me was when Danielle was saying, oh, I have a lot of emotions about this. She's very overwhelmed by her emotions. She has a lot of insecurities through the dating process of looking to seek an additional wife here as part of the process for the family. But I think when Danielle was talking about, well, this is love and love is terrifying and that's just how it is. And it's like, Danielle, do you know what love is? Like, I don't think it should feel like that all the time. Like, it shouldn't feel like that all the time. What is the damaged lens that she is seeing this and, you know, what is she seeking out? So the other thing that scared the hell out of me was when she said she was gone for a few days. So she signed the lease for that apartment, left the house, and was only gone for a few days before she came back. That's not enough time, in my opinion.
No, and it was because she said those were the worst few days of her life. And I was like, oh my gosh, we can't be alone with ourselves, huh? That's maybe an indication of something that's, you know, not great.
Scary. Yeah, yeah. Can't be alone with my thoughts. Don't leave me alone.
Yeah, and also you can see that she also makes these big decisions. And I think this is what the other three are really looking at, right? She makes these really big decisions and then just sort of acts on them as opposed to going to them and sitting down and saying, I mean, we had seen her say a little bit as we go along, like, listen, I'm a little worried about this. I don't know about bringing in new women, you know, so on and so forth. But it doesn't sound like she really sat down with anybody and said, she didn't, and said, okay, this is how I'm feeling. Okay, now I'm coming back again and I'm saying it again and I'm saying it again. I'm saying it again. Okay, well, no one's really listening to me. So I need to take some space. So I'm going to leave. Right? Like, it's almost like she got overwhelmed, signed a lease, packed up her plants, left the place, was home alone for a couple days, right? Didn't like the thoughts in her own head, and then came running back, but still has the lease.
But they don't listen to her. I feel like she felt like she had to do something drastic.
Yeah.
Because to get some attention, because no one's listening to her. And now that she's back, still no one is listening to her.
Mm-hmm. But she's not talking to them, but I think she's just being, I don't think they're listening to her, but I think that she's saying some things and it's going, I don't think she's really sitting them down and like saying, this is what I'm feeling. The other thing is she's not saying what she's feeling. Like, so you're nervous about like, what is, I still don't understand what the problem is. It, you're just, is it jealousy? Is it, you know, what is it?
I think she was afraid to sit down and have a conversation with them because there is an unfair like power dynamic in that household where they just push her into things that she's uncomfortable with.
Because it's three against one, because they're all for it. And yeah. This is what we signed up for and you got to do it too.
I think she was afraid that she would just right away get pressured into staying and not be able to actually act on what she was thinking out because, you know, that's kind of the way things have gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary that the four of them together aren't comfortable. Nobody is comfortable talking about their feelings in this scenario. So if you're going to be living polyamory in this way, you need to be open about that. Like, I feel like that's going to be, communication is going to be a really big part of how effective that relationship dynamic can be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's that big thing. I have clients all the time that are always like thinking, you know, they're in these relationships that aren't working. And so they think like the answer is, you know, having an open relationship. And I try to get them to see that, you know, anytime you open up your relationship, it's more talking. People just assume that means sex. It's like, no, yes, there's sex, but there's a lot more talking and a lot more communicating and a lot more thinking about people's feelings.
Oh, I don't like that.
There's a lot more of that. So you really have to do that.
Yeah, I don't like that stuff.
Not on this show.
I think she's really outnumbered. I feel really badly for her, actually, because she can't assert herself. they just want her to go along with the program. I don't think they're really listening. I mean, Nick tries to throw her a bone. He says he underestimated how difficult this transition would be for her. But I mean, they're in the smoothie shop, you know. But that's not enough, Nick. I mean,
and where's her family? She's very young. Like, shouldn't her family, do we have any idea where her parents or do we know anything about her?
I feel like she was living with her mother like last year before she moved in with them or something. I could be wrong. But yeah, she's only 24 now. She was, I think she was 22 when she met them.
Wow. Yeah, but I mean, this Nick, I mean, it's just, he is not going to slow down. He has got to keep staying at home and thinking, and they want to get bigger houses, and they need to keep bringing in wives, right? Because if they bring in another wife, doesn't this then mean that April gets to quit her job and stay home and think with Nick? Is this the process?
Oh,
that's a good theory. Right?
That would be good.
Every time, this is what Brooke and I were talking about last time, like, is it every time you bring in someone new, or do you just get bigger places? Does everything start upgrading?
It's lifestyle. Inflation, lifestyle creep. Is that what's going on?
Yeah. But it is like a pyramid scheme. And basically Nick and April are at the top of the pyramid and everyone's on their downline, you know, and they're going to be working forever.
Well, and I think Danielle's main reasoning here, or that was part of the conversation that she was having with Nick. And I feel like she does better communicating one-on-one with Nick, where she was like, hey, just a heads up though, if we do start in on the process and I'm not comfortable and I say I'm not comfortable, we need to stop. So even if everybody else is saying this is all good, let's keep moving this along, we need to listen to people who are saying, hey, I'm not ready for this right now. So I think it was maybe Nick needed to come to that understanding too, because maybe he generally didn't realize that that was going on, but it seems like that's been the plan.
I don't think that they're going to listen to that.
I don't think it's going to work. Yeah. I think that's why she's still keeping the lease signed as a backup plan here.
And Nick says he's concerned about that.
Yeah.
That she still has this lease. I guess she's not letting it go. I mean, she's back on a trial basis, I guess. But another thing that bothered me was Nick told her that, you know, she needs to have a talk with April because April is just, you know, really hurt by this whole thing. And they show like scenes from next week with April saying, I don't think you understand, like, you know, how much you shook things up. But it's almost like, you got to go to Mama April and, you know, kiss her ass and be like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And that right there made me realize this is not equal in any way, shape, or form. It's like Nick and April, and then they've somehow brainwashed Jen, and now they're trying to brainwash Danielle. And Danielle apparently is a little bit stronger minded.
Yeah.
She's not going to go willingly, I don't think.
Yeah. All right. You go, Danielle. You do it. Let's hopefully this is like the emancipation of Danielle.
Yes.
You know? Hopefully by the end of the season, Danielle's like running out the door. She's gone. Let's hope. All right. Well, that was episode 4. We said it all. That was quite an episode.
Yeah.
This is a really great show, I have to say. It really is. When you, I don't know why I'd been sleeping on it.
No, it's super entertaining. And like the Davises and the Merrifields just always deliver. Pretty much every single episode.
Well, now the Ryans, too. The Ryans they introduced them late, and I think there's going to be plenty of content for that now, especially with the crazy stalking that's going to be happening next week.
Well, and then we're going to see the Suludans, I can't pronounce their name, but with they're finally finished eating with his mother. Yes. The meal was over. And we see them driving to pick up Regina. And that's going to be really interesting, too, because that seems super messy as well.
Mm-hmm. Not a good sign when you're missing from 2 episodes. So I have a feeling.
And you still haven't brought the person.
Yeah.
Like they're not
here. There must not be a lot of content. I wonder if she sticks around for very long.
Yeah. Is it that is there an issue right out the gate? Do they even make it here? Is it just they turn around and go home? So yeah, it's not boding.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's why they had to be like, okay, mom needs to keep eating green beans. Let's just keep stretching this out. Let's keep bugging mom. What's going on with mom? Okay. We can see that. I can see that. All right. Well, this has been a blast. I cried at one point. Just laughing so hard at poor Shane's pain. So tell us, where people can find you. Give us all your info.
Yeah, we're on everywhere you listen to podcasts. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can check us out over on Acast. And then we also have our Patreon, patreon.com/survivingpod, where we got a bunch of extra episodes and our rewatches in the archives. And we just recapped, what was it, Labyrinth? The movie Labyrinth. So Carly had never seen it.
It was quite the episode. Quite the episode.
1986 classic David Bowie, Jim Henson production. So
yeah, God, I remember when that movie came out.
Quite horrifying. Horrifying.
Carly wasn't a fan.
No.
We learned that. So I've been singing the music around the house just to bother her.
Just to creep me out.
Yeah, just to scare her.
All right.
Well, it was great meeting you.
Yeah.
And I hope we should do this again.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. And we are, please follow us. We also just launched our Patreon. It's patreon.com/psychlegalpop. And you can find us on social media at psychlegalpop on Instagram and or TikTok. And please subscribe and give us a 5-star review and all that good stuff. Thank you so much. Thank you, Corey and Carly. This has been great.
Thanks, Tess. Thanks, Brooke.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.